Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:33 on Tuesday, April 2nd, 1:30 p.m. This is a work session on Burke Wind. It's case number PU-18-302 and an associated transmission project as well, PU-18-344. Hopefully, did I get those in the right order? On which one was the wind and which one was the transmission?
344 is the wind, and was okay. It 304?
302.
302 is the transmission.
Okay, so I had this flip-flop, but 18-344 and 18-302. So I don't have any opening comments. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotius. For the record, with me are Commissioners Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. Commissioner Fedorchuk is the portfolio holder. Before I turn it over to her, Commissioner Christman, do you have any opening comments?
No, I do not. Thanks.
And then also for the record, if we could get you to state your name.
Brian Schmidt, attorney.
And Jerry Leon, staff.
Staff, okay. All right, Commissioner Fedorchuk, it's all yours.
Very good. Thank you, Brian. Well, Brian Schmidt and I discussed this case last week and talked a bit about the work session and how we could be most productive. At that point, there was still outstanding information, but I think all of the late-filed exhibits have arrived. I can't say that I have had a chance to read them all yet because I haven't. So, but we did think it would be a good opportunity for us to get together and discuss kind of where we're at with things, the big issues, how we want to proceed. And so with that, maybe I'll turn it over to you, Brian, and you can kind of walk through the late files. And then we can, I think we all need to talk a bit about what issues we still need to explore and how we want to do that. So I'll turn it over to you for now, Brian.
Sure. They did file some late-filed exhibits last week. Two of the late-filed exhibits were just easements that they were waiting on. I believe they're both from landowners who are within – one was within the wind farm and one was within the transmission line area. Nothing too surprising there. The remaining documents that they filed as late-filed exhibits, one of them was late-filed exhibit number 50, and that would have been for the transmission line. At the hearing, there were some questions about the map that the company presented that depicted the transmission line in relation to Native Prairie. In response to questions on that, Ms. Wells indicated that that wasn't an updated version of the map. So they have provided that as a late-filed exhibit number 50 in 302. And then in 344, the company did submit a response to the Ms. Smith's report that was provided at the hearing. I guess just a brief summary of that. Essentially, the response of the company is they don't feel as if Ms. Smith's report raised any issues that are new or that weren't addressed at the hearing. It does touch on a couple of things. One of them is that they believe that the report relates primarily to the larger Coteau region as opposed to the specific area. And then they indicate that they believe Ms. Smith based some of the authority off of things that were found on the North Dakota Game and Fish website, but that authority has been revoked in 2018. So they're claiming basically that it's not any thing that the commission can rely on. In sum, it does just reiterate a lot of the studies that the company has done, not a lot of new information in their response. So I did touch base with Ms. Fury today about the status of the transcripts, because I think we can all agree that having a transcript of the hearing might be beneficial in going through and trying to figure out what was said when, as opposed to trying to listen to 13 hours of recording. The transcripts are not available yet. When they do become available, I'll get a copy, and then we can work off of those moving forward, because I do think that will make this process much more efficient moving forward.
Did she have any sense when they would be available?
I did not get an estimate as to a potential date. I know, I guess in my experience dealing with court reporters, it completely varies on their workload. Sometimes you get them in 4 or 5 days. Sometimes it takes months. I would anticipate there's probably a rush on this one. I know it's a very long transcript, and we are already close to a month out. So I would anticipate a transcript becoming available fairly soon.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you. Can you tell me what Exhibit 50 was again? Because I'm looking at the docket and online.
It's docket number 85. Or is it 85 or 86? I know Commissioner Christman has a copy of it.
Is exhibit.
Exhibit and dockets are different.
No, I know, but exhibit, it jumps from 49 to 51.
It's docket item number 85, and it's late filed exhibit 50. It's Native Prairie Transmission Line Map.
Okay. Okay, I got it.
This one.
So a question on that, and the reason I was, Brian and I talked about it in advance, because I was trying to correlate a different question that I had asked Brian to ask during the hearing, and as I've replayed it, I never understood the answer. So I still have the same question. And that is regarding the company's testimony, I believe somewhere, that they have all the easements. But when I look at their original maps for the transmission line, figure 4C, and look at the railroad crossing, it's shaded as being non-participating. And so either they have the easements or they don't, and I'm trying to understand whether they do or not.
I know that was an issue that was discussed. I guess I'd have to go back and listen to the actual testimony on that to see what their response was on the record. It was my understanding that they were working with the railroad. I don't know for a fact whether or not they've secured a specific easement for that or whether they felt one wasn't necessary. I'd have to go back and check on that, but I can get you an answer for that.
Because working with them on an easement is different than having all the easements.
Sure.
One thing I want to just to include as a part of the work session record, if you will, when either commissioner is referring to Brian and visiting with Brian before the particular this meeting, just to clarify, it's not with myself. It's with legal counsel. So, and you can probably pick that up on the recording, the video, but if anyone is just listening right now and unclear in terms of whether or not we're meeting inappropriately, the answer is absolutely not.
Good point. Thanks for pointing that out.
Brian Schmidt. Well, because I did, well, I wasn't looking at you to see where you were talking at the time, but when I heard you say I met with Brian before, I was like, you did? So if it confused me, I'm sure it's confusing to others.
Well, it startled me, so.
Thanks for
meeting with Mr. Schmidt.
I want to keep a good record.
I guess one other thing that the company did submit were proposed findings. Those were submitted last week for both the transmission line and the wind project.
Did we ask for in the hearing, there was some comparisons made between this project and other previously approved projects, and they kind of rattled off a few by memory, but they weren't real specific and certain that those were the correct. Did we ask for that, for them to clarify that?
I don't believe that was an issue that was specified as a late filed exhibit, no.
All right. Well, I think we should talk about what we see as the big issues moving forward and what we want to, how we want to work through them. And I can go first, or you two can talk about what you want to highlight or questions that you still need to have dug up from the record, that type of thing.
If you don't mind, can we address a couple of little ones first, just to get them off the table?
Yep.
You know, and it's harder listening to the recording and sometimes understanding things. So maybe some of this was clear, but I didn't understand it. The exclusion areas, as far as 500 feet from the transmission line, my understanding was that they're measuring from the center point of the transmission line to the center point of the residence. And although we're working on clarifying that rule, I think it's always been the understanding that we measure, it was the intention to be measuring from the right-of-way of the transmission line. So did I understand that right, that they're using the center line? And if so, is there anyone that close that didn't already have to do a waiver anyway?
That was my understanding as well. I don't believe there was anyone who would have been impacted by changing the measurement to the edge of the right-of-way from the center line. And that the people who would have been impacted by that, they've already obtained easements from. That's my understanding. So no additional easements would have been necessary for that.
So it's not such a big deal. I think we just would want to be cautious in any, if that's referenced in a written order at the end, that we're not doing this one different than what we've done other things. And on my listening to Dr. Wells's testimony, just made a few notes. They mentioned preparing a mitigation strategy to submit to Game and Fish, planning to have the mitigation in February, and this was March, 6 or something, preparing the wildlife conservation strategy, but then also mentioned the offset plan delivered February 15th. And so, I don't know, is this something that's being worked on or that exists?
My understanding from the testimony at the hearing is it's something that's being worked on and will be presented to those agencies. I do not know whether that has happened yet. And it was my understanding that those were in the works. I don't believe that they necessarily exist, I guess, to answer your question, at least not in a final form. Okay. As of the hearing date, at least.
So when they talk about having it in February or delivered February 15th, that did not occur. You don't think it had happened by hearing date?
I don't think it did. I guess the record would kind of speak for itself on that. I'd have to go back and clarify how that testimony came off, but it was my understanding that it was something that was in the works. And based on the correspondence that was received from the agencies, I think it's a fair assumption that they weren't in possession of all of that, or they didn't have adequate time to review it prior to the hearing date.
That's my recollection also, that it's in the works.
And then, if I can just keep going with some of these smaller details, but I mean, not that they're a small detail, but things that don't take a lot of explanation, probably. Mr. Habaker, the Planning and Zoning Commissioner, talked about the County Commission approval being for the original project, the 300 megawatts, and based on previous projects that we've done, it seems that when we hear from county commissioners, often there's discussion about the local tax revenues that are going to come in. So clearly that would have changed a lot. And what is the wording that we typically use in our documents as far as local government approvals? Does our approval hinge on them having that? Or do we just acknowledge that the testimony was that they did have it, or what? And then whatever the status of it is, how does this impact that if it's kind of a different plan now than what they approved? Or do we just consider it close enough?
I believe that is generally covered in the certification. I'd have to go back and check. I do think we have some type of some language in there requiring the company to get local approval from local governing bodies. Obviously, generally, that's done prior to them ever coming before the Public Service Commission. I guess with respect to your question on the the county approving this project as a 300-megawatt project. If you look at the maps, the 200-megawatt project just has a smaller footprint than the 300-megawatt project does. I'm not aware of Burke County having any specific tax revenue requirements or anything like that to approve these type of projects. So I, to the extent that that played a factor in their decision, I don't know. But apparently whatever evidence was presented to them was enough to satisfy their zoning ordinances to allow them to grant that special or conditional use permit.
And if they felt differently, that would be incumbent on them to pursue that through some kind of legal avenues, not incumbent on us.
Correct.
To catch that, right?
That would be the way it would typically work, yes.
If I might just comment on that, though, I've always viewed, excuse me, conditional use permits for the wind to be a little different than some of the other facilities in that we typically have not gone in and held our hearings in advance of local approval just because our action could deem to influence that in one way or another. And we also haven't overridden local approval on a wind project. And I can't, and I'm not saying I never would, but I can't imagine the circumstances right now in which I would do that when a local governing body has looked at a project and said, this isn't right for our community. I'd have to look really hard at the circumstances that would cause me to provide a different answer. So go ahead, Jerry.
My understanding is that the commission does not have the power to override a local permit for a for a energy conversion facility, but it does for a transmission
pipelines or electric transmission lines. Okay, yeah. Well, that's good clarification.
Even though the project itself, though, is within the same footprint, but substantially smaller?
You know, I don't know
it's not
that it makes any difference. They granted a permit. If they feel that it no longer applies, then I think that's their business. They'd have to pursue that or something. Somebody'd have to pursue it.
What if
it's something we can check on, though.
What if the footprint changed, expanded by 50%, and they had a permit and the county said, it's not a problem with us, would we still view it the same way? Is that permit matching up with the application we receive?
I think if the county gave their approval of the larger footprint, that they would then have their permit for the larger footprint.
It's more of a rhetorical question when I ask it. I just...
Yeah, and I think that would be unusual. I think that would be something that would be up to the commission kind of on a case-by-case basis, especially in the situation you just described where a company would go in and get a permit and then a new project would come in or an alteration to that project would increase the footprint of that project exponentially, let's just say, and that has never been brought before that local governing body. Again, typically companies do have all their permits in line before they ever get to us, but in the situation that you described, it could always we could always look at, well, first of all, checking with that local governing body or something like that. But I think the kind of the inverse of what you're talking about has happened here where the project has shrunk in size, and I'm not aware of any of the Burke County commissioners voicing concerns about the smaller footprint.
Well, I think it's incumbent on them to bring it up if they feel it's different. I just wanted it acknowledged on here and in our discussion because one of the planning and zoning commissioners brought it up. And I think now I'm ready to go into your big picture items.
Yeah. Well, really, the big picture stuff for that I'm needing to get a good handle on in the transcript will really help is the issues raised by use of Fish and Wildlife and Game and Fish and matching it up with how were they addressed by the company And I'm not just talking in general. I'm talking specifics in general and specifics. I mean, there are some of the bigger issues, which, you know, Game and Fish and use of Fish and Wildlife identified, you know, even after the size was reduced and there was, you know, some mitigation occurred, a list of mitigation efforts occurred. Both Game and Fish and U.S. Fish and Wildlife still said that their recommendation would be to have the project elsewhere. so then digging within that, there's specific objections that are raised. And so somehow I want to go through, not today, obviously, but have staff help go through the record and identify, you know, here's what was said, here's what Game and Fish said, here's how the company believes that they've met those concerns, and then be able to take a very objective view of how, you know, if the efforts were or the issues have been mitigated, and if in the end the project meets the minimal impact standard in the law for approval of the permit. But to me, the biggest issues are the issues raised by U.S. Fish and Wildlife and Game and Fish, impacts to the wetlands in particular, to some extent, the native prairie, and trying to better analyze the impacts to the wetlands, which are not just direct, because we have to acknowledge that they're just, because you don't put a tower in the middle of a wetland, there's still impacts to having a tower there, near there, impacts to the wildlife. So how do we get our do a fair analysis of that?
I have kind of a new possible thought, and I'm still wavering. I'm not sure exactly how I feel about it, to be honest with you. Been a lot of consternation expressed around the state about previous voluntary mitigation efforts that we acknowledged in an order. It was no secret. I mean, it goes way back to last year, or I think in 2017 already, the objections that some of the wildlife agencies had about the particular location. The same company has once again chosen not to have a mitigation plan offered in the hearing, and they could have, and we could have taken it for whatever we thought it was worth. Maybe we're to the point where we just... because we don't have authority to force them to do particular mitigation things. So maybe we just make a decision up or down on whether they have presented a case and shown that it will have minimal adverse impacts, or have they not presented such a case? And we've got the responses we've gotten from wildlife agencies and from some individuals, and we've got what the company presented in the hearing, and maybe we just make a decision up or down.
A couple of thoughts on that. In my perspective, they did offer mitigation prior to the hearing. It was to Terry Steinwand, $521,000. But, you know, in terms of a payment, or whatever, here's all the things we've mitigated, here's how we did it, and then in addition to that, this is what we think is a fair mitigation plan. And then after that, Game and Fish and U.S. Fish and Wildlife still came back and said, this is not the place for this project. To me, you know, the question is this area... I mean, can you put a dollar amount on this area to mitigate, to offset? I mean, it seems to me the agencies are saying no. there's no offset amount of, that you can't recreate this habitat someplace else, no matter how much mitigation. Maybe a higher amount would change them. I don't know. But based on what they did, that's what I interpret them as saying. Even after the whole mitigation plan is presented, they're still saying this is not the place for it. So, I mean, to me, it's I'm not ready for an up and down because I want to do more of a, you know, my head is still swimming with the back and forth between the what the company said with their two experts that they brought forward and what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and Game and Fish have said. I mean, I agree with what I think you were saying, Randy, is that, you know, the Game and Fish and U.S. Fish and Wildlife were pretty clear from day one about the issues in this location. And so that bothers me because I've been led to believe by other wind development in other cases and through my knowledge in this process as a whole that plan, that is it called WEG?
Yes.
That plan was agreed upon by the wind industry and wildlife expert agencies as like, this is the process we're going to follow to do this right. And so if you're doing that, then you would avoid places like this. They couldn't have said it more clearly. Early intervention. So that's a problem. I mean, so I want to come back and look at it from a fair standpoint of here's what the agencies are saying, here's what the company's saying, here's how they've mitigated it, and does it reach that minimal impact standard? And there was so much. I mean, it really was difficult to get to the bottom of some of the answers that were provided by the company. So I think that's where we have to, the transcript's going to be really helpful. It's kind of weed through the what was the final answer on some of this, some of the questions.
I guess just to kind of circle back to one of the questions previously, I was able to find it in the certification about the impact that local governing bodies can have. The second paragraph of the certification, it says the company agrees to comply with the rules and regulations of all their agencies having jurisdiction over any phase of the facility, including all city, township, and county zoning regulations. So that is something that is addressed in our certification.
And we're not really saying then that they have done so.
We're saying that the company agrees to comply with all those regulations.
Okay. I think we're pretty good on that then.
Was there any other issues from your perspective? Or where are you sitting right now in terms of how you want to proceed with this? Brian?
Ms. Brian? Okay. Just to clarify.
That's Mr. Schmidt.
That is Mr. Schmidt now.
He's also my father.
I'm not his father. It's getting true. More confusing all the time.
Mr. Schmidt's my father.
I'm getting old enough to be Mr. Schmidt.
Easy. lost my train of thought, surprisingly. I actually, I've been going through this. I've been going through my notes from what was a long but frankly a good day in Bow Bells in terms of how many hours of public testimony did we take? Was it four?
Something like that.
At least four, close to maybe even pushing five, which I always think is one of the most valuable aspects of why we go out and about. So I think there are a lot of we have the big items in front of us. I think there are smaller items that clarifications, if you will, details that might come in. But where I'm at is I think I have what I need to make a decision. And I'll wait until we're actually at the bench and taking the vote on it, but I just don't feel like am missing? Anything that would have any significant influence on the direction that I'm headed? So, since today's not casting the vote day, I'll just leave it at that. But we do have a lot of evidence in front of us, a lot of testimony, I should say, in front of us. And I think, you know, everyone has had, I think, you know, a fair opportunity to weigh in as well.
Okay. Well, I think that from my perspective, we need the transcript. And then I can work with Jerry and Brian on kind of weeding through that and getting the information that I need. I mean, there's no shortage of information, but, you know, to me, the company has done a significant amount of mitigation, and I don't want to dismiss that or take it lightly. I want to really understand that and how it relates to the issues raised by the agencies and weigh those accordingly, and then make a decision at that point. Is there anything you need, Randy?
Well, I guess I'm still on my earlier thought about some new last-minute thing. So the company has made the efforts that they've made up to the hearing date, and the agency's still expressed some opposition. And I'm just not anxious to have something else now floated in later and consider that very heavily into a decision that, okay, now you know, we'll also do something else to mitigate impacts, because no one at the hearing got to respond to that, whether they thought it was a good idea or not, and we won't have had a chance to really ask questions about it. It'll be another one of those take it or leave it kinds of things. So I guess I'm kind of, I agree, I'd like to see the transcripts. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel our decision needs to revolve basically around what's already in. Now, there are exceptions, like whether or not they have an easement across a railroad or not. I mean, that it's kind of a yes or no thing. You either do or you don't. But as far as coming up with whole new mitigation plans at this point, to me, we're kind of beyond that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, and I think that, I mean, unless you see it differently from a legal standpoint, Brian, what has been different in the past is we asked for some information back in terms of from the company on how are you going to address these issues, and that we didn't ask for that this time because they talked about how they did address them, and it wasn't an open-ended question. Like,
yeah, and I think if you read the late filed exhibit that they filed in response to Ms. Smith's report, they basically say that we've said what we need to say and it's been said, and we're ready to have a decision made on it. There is a lot of information mm-hmm. in this file, and pairing that with the transcript may be beneficial to the commission to make sure that the answers that you're coming up with are based off of what was actually provided for in the record. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll proceed, or at least I'll proceed in accordance with that.
Okay. How? Any idea how long before we should have another work session?
I would say we would want to probably make that decision based off of when the transcript comes in.
Okay.
That's going to be probably a 400 or 500 page document, if I had to guess, mm-hmm. Which is going to take some time to sift through. Obviously, a lot of the stuff in there is, you know, the ALJ reading, you know, the procedure and some other just basic comments. But there was a substantial amount of testimony mm-hmm. to sift through, and finding the exact parts of that record where they address the various concerns of the agency is going to take a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. I think probably maybe 2 weeks after we get the transcripts in, it might be beneficial to have another work session and get clarity as to what the record actually reflected with respect to some of the concerns the commission may have.
Okay. So we'll hold off and schedule work session once we get the transcripts.
Unless the commission wants to proceed differently.
I'm good with that.
One good thing about doing it off the recording, I've got the times of when each witness starts and when they said specific things that I wrote down. So it's kind of handy in that way. So I don't know that I really need the transcripts that much either, but
yeah.
I can see that they would be potentially beneficial.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other issues to discuss?
I don't have any more.
All right. Jerry?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm just going to point out while we're here on this work session, because it could factor into other projects too, but I had asked Brian to ask at the hearing whether the SPP interconnection is NRIS or ERIS. And because of my work with SPP, I know in some other jurisdictions, ERIS interconnections have caused some enormous cost consequences for local companies. And this is an NRIS. And so by signing up for this type of interconnection, they will have the responsibility for other upgrades that might be needed. So I think that's an important thing to have addressed because it could come up in other cases. And so this is an NRIS, and I'm happy about that.
Okay. Nothing more for me, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else? Okay. This work session is closed. Thank you.